Welcome back to Smell You Later, the favorite part of your Tuesday sometimes.
We're cursed. Everything that has gone wrong has gone wrong today on this show, but it's fine. We're here to cut the intro and keep it moving.
We are experts at keeping it moving.
Exactly.
Have we had you've had an adventurous week, I feel, because you've been settling into your new space.
Been settling into my new space. I've been launching a product. I've been trying to keep my head on straight, and it's not working all that well, to be quite honest, but here we are. Yeah, everything's good.
Can we talk about the new product, or is it embargoed?
It's out. Okay. I don't want to talk about it. I mean, it's fine. It's out.
I literally just did my sheets laundry with it.
I love it, and it had a really incredible launch, so I'm just keeping the energy up.
Your legacy with the brand.
Oh, my legacy is, well, it's my legacy part one. There's more coming. Ooh. Did you go to the, and I know the answer because it was at 8:30 a.m., but the Eccentric Molecules breakfast? Yeah.
I did not, but the perfume just showed up at my door unsolicited. Also, when it's your job, you become a hoarder. Your whole house is just full of products.
I don't know. I'm good at like one in, one out. Mostly. I'm not perfect at it.
I think I just put them in I just like organize them away and then I forget about them. And then they're just there and they accumulate. But
well, maybe. I mean, man, I wish we had something coming up that where you could move them. Actually, let's not even tease it yet. They haven't confirmed the date. Anyway, but have you smelled the new Eccentric Molecules?
It's fine.
Cologne?
It smells like the O1 molecule plus a kind of traditional marine leaning men's fragrance.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, certainly not for me, but I'm really curious to smell it, honestly. I think it makes sense for them. And I appreciate Molecule O1. I lift it up in praise. the rest of it is sort of like, you know, really not for me, but I heard about this one and I am, my interest is piqued. Oh, so we'll see.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you don't get one mysteriously show up at your door, you know what? It's probably at your old apartment, honestly.
No, literally.
I was like, you can take mine.
Fine.
I was sent I don't know if this is totally out of pocket, it was out of pocket for me, two new scents from All Saints, which very left field for me. And it was just like, because I was like, I feel like you really liked an All Saints scent.
Incense City.
That's the one. I knew it.
Up and down. I love All Saints Incense City. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's a triumph.
So that's why I was like, maybe they're good. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm missing out on something. But
yeah.
There's two new ones. They're both like woody expressions. Sacred Sands and Naked Woods. And they're nice. One of them smells very kind of oody, and one of them kind of just smells like a blonde woods type situation.
When was the last time something thrilled you? Answer me.
Nothing's coming to mind.
When was the last time you were really excited about something?
I think people should be more exciting.
I
know as soon as we log off, I'm going to be like, ah.
Well, it's funny because how do I say this in my most diplomatic manner? So the new All Saints fragrances that you have, and I'm pointing directly at the camera, and the trio that launched, I don't know, maybe this time last year, they're all, oh my God, ow, I have the gnarliest cupping bruises.
Oh my God, it looked like you got slapped by a giant octopus. Like,
oh my God, no, it feels like I did. I've never like had them hurt before.
They do
hurt.
There's
this one on my neck that's like black.
The one time I did cupping, I was like, not for me. This actually hurts. Ow.
I love it. It's not that bad, but I actually like pressed it like a panic button. Anyway, so this new era of All Saints fragrances is done by, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I like Scent Beauty. And if it's not Scent Beauty, it's one of those ones that like these incubators. So they're, and I'm riffing here. God forbid I chuck a single source, but I think the license got sold because they're not the same like look, feel, franchise.
I actually thought the bottles were really cool because they're wrapped in leather.
Okay. Huh. I probably should have called them in knowing how much I liked the previous ones. I was a little bummed out that they were different, which is not the way to approach something you love. So maybe I will have a change of heart, but I did love All Saints. But when I saw that they got chopped and screwed, I was like, maybe not. But I don't know. My mind could be changed. It has before.
I think you will probably like one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, you know what? Something that did excite me recently. I don't know if you got these. The Kosas multi-sticks. The lip and cheeks.
Oh my God. Yes.
They're,
go on.
Like, I was legitimately impressed because usually with a lip and cheek cream product, it's either really good on cheeks or really good on lips, but never, never the two are the same. But this is legitimately good on both. It looks like it's like it sinks into your skin and lips. It gives you that really stained kind of appearance almost, but it doesn't feel dry. Hmm. It's a cream.
So I saw that they were putting out a multiple and that's like the original Kosas sort of approach to makeup. So I was excited by it and called it in. And the day after we moved into this place, I had recently been to this event with Naked Sundays, which is an SPF brand. And I stole so much sunscreen from that event. I was like, I'm going to be protected this summer one way or another. But I took a tinted SPF. And when I say one, I mean 8. And I took your shades too, by the way. So I'll bring them over. But anyway, we had moved the day before. We'd been moving in all day and unpacking. And a girlfriend of mine was having a housewarming party. And so, of course, I RSVP'd us to that. We're rushing out of the house. And I was like, shit, I didn't put on sunscreen. I grabbed this tinted, put it on my face. And when I tell you, it was like applying acrylic paint to my skin with my fingers. Like, everything disappeared. Every shadow, every line, I was like, oh, my God, I look like Rain Man. And like, I didn't have time to throw on bronzer and a brow and all this. So I was like, well, fuck me. So I just grabbed the Kosas multiple in the hottest pink shade. And I was like, here we fucking go. And you're right. I tapped it on and then like just booped it in with my fingers and gorgeous. It's sort of like I was saying about this goddamn Kylie blushes. When you get something that performs the way you want it to, the way you expect it to, and you can just leave the house, it's like, oh, thank God.
Love it.
So yes.
Anyway, that excited
Thank
me.
Thank you, Kosas.
Unfortunately, it was not fragrance related.
A fragrance, yeah.
Unfortunately. But I will say, even though they're my ops, every time I fucking wear that Louis Vuitton Phantasmagory, everyone fucking compliments me. And I'm like, you know what?
I know. It gets me every time too. And by that, I mean when you wear it, I compliment
I know.
You.
And I was like, God damn.
It does smell good. And I do get that Xeroxy note out of it too.
We're out here smelling like sexy fax machines.
We are.
It's gonna be the new thing. Not banana.
No.
We got to do something else but banana, you guys.
No, I am fine with it. I'm fine with the banana thing. It's just, I love a trend. I don't care. You know, I don't, it's just when everyone jumps on all at the same time, all at once, I'm sort of like, who put out this memo and how did we get here?
I would truly like to know. I wish there was an actual concrete way to like trace that back.
I'm sure there is.
Perhaps.
Well, like with beauty, it's a little easier to me with makeup. Yeah. With fragrance, it's a little bit more opaque to
me. But we're perhaps by the time this comes out, we will be quoted in a Business of Fashion piece about banana scent trends.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure when
it's looking forward to that one.
But I did discover banana lattes, which are genuinely life-changing. Another thing I got excited about, Tynan. Now I'm counting. Look, you got me counting my blessings here.
Again, not a fragrance. You can't please her with scent, but you put a treat in front of her and we're good.
True. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I smell like Flying South by Florae Coupe.
Wait, is this the new one?
This is a new one. I think there is a newer one that is actually not out yet. So we didn't say that. This one came out in April. And I love Florae Coupe. You put me onto them. We had them on the show, God, years ago at this point. And they sent me an email about this. And I was like, I think I'm going to need that. And it's essentially about, and this may come as a huge surprise, flying south to an endless summer, to like warmth and softness, etc. All of which, you know, conceptually, I love. The build, the top is lemon essence, mandarin essence, and coconut accord. The heart is melon accord, hibiscus accord, and Georgie wood. Okay. And the base, I don't know what that is. And the base is amber and musks. So obviously, what really jumped out and grabbed me and why I had to have this was the melon accord. And it's actually not what I thought. It is like sparkly, like a sparkler from 4th of July.
Okay.
Like it's sort of sparky and electric. It's like a lot of citrus off rip and really the whole time. and you do get like a little bit of melon nectar. I think a lot of hibiscus and just, I think a lot of that like bright, almost bitter lemon, mandarin, and then, you know, the muscat, the bottom. It's definitely not what I thought. Mm. It's almost, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but like sterile citrus. It sort of makes like the back of your jaw ache a little bit. Oh. And not in a sour way, but in a like a bright, to the point of searing way. Definitely not what I thought. It was really surprising in a way that I find it harder and harder to be surprised by fragrance right now. And not because that we are lucky to smell every single thing, but because I feel like just everything is so safe and so round, yeah, and so solar, yeah, and so gourmand, yep, and so sweet right now. And thank God. But it's refreshing, even if this is perhaps not my like favorite. It's nice to smell and feel a different approach, you know? Mm-hmm.
Their scents, I remember I had a discovery set from them a few years ago, but their scents to me have always been very uniquely, like, they have some sort of olfactive style going on, because to me, it's like, mm-hmm, I've never really smelled anything like them.
Yeah, no, really, really. Yeah. And this, I'm sure that you have told me about this and probably showed me before, but so the bottle is essentially like a, you know, a rectangle, more wide than it is tall. And then the cap, yes, is really tall, yeah, and wrapped in patterned leather. It's pretty, but I was like, okay, that's a choice. But when you get, yeah, it, because I've previously had some discovery sets, but when you get the full bottle in its box, you get the bottle and then you get a, what I believe to be a 10, yeah, ml vial. And the cap pulls off the bottle and turns into a case for the 10 ml.
The coolest thing.
And I was like, that is gaggy.
I've always loved that about this brand, that they have the coolest, this bottle situation.
Yeah, no, it's so cool. So this is $375, which it is, you know, that is up there for a 50 ml with a 10 ml. But it comes with a travel case. And I don't know, if this was something I really loved, I would spring for it. I would absolutely buy one umbrella for two in, yeah, this format, because,
yes,
I think it's cool. And like, I don't know, I love when design is considered as much as the fragrance. So I am thrilled.
I mean, as far as like luxury perfume prices go, like I feel like you do get a lot with this, because,
yeah,
sure, it's like not 100 mls, it's 60, but it's still like two separate, I don't know, it's just very, mm-hmm, well considered packaging.
And that's what luxury is.
Exactly.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
I smell like the new Mathieu Premier Metal Lavender. And I got to preview this a couple months ago, honestly. And then I
assume the embargo has lifted.
Well, it's out. They're posting about it. So,
okay, good, go, good, good. Do you smell this like, I want to say last year?
No. Okay. But probably like March?
God, I would say like January. Clearly, neither of us know. But you smell
early.
It
was a while ago.
Early, early.
And I was kind of just like, huh, lavender, interesting. Like, why would that be your next kind of like hero note? I don't know. I think it's just personal preference. And it does give what the name implies. It is a cold, metallic lavender. But, mm-hmm, his whole idea, Aurélien Guichard, who's the perfumer and founder of the brand, he wanted to make something that was very fresh. He described it as feeling like putting on a fresh, crisp white t-shirt.
Oh,
so,
nice.
It's like, huh, kind of laundry, but it also has the quality of like something that's been dried by the air on a clothesline. So it has, mm, that kind of like a little bit of that ambroxan, not aldehydic, but what is that? Like that kind of like vacant molecule scent to it that kind of gives a cold quality or an ozonic quality. Mm. So I do get like a soft, a very subtly powdery lavender, but it's like cold, which I suppose is the metal aspect. It's nice. I think when I sprayed it on immediately, I was like, ah, lavender. But now that I've been wearing it for a couple hours, it dries down to a really transparent, crystally skin musk, which is nice.
Hmm.
Which, okay, is funny because, like, wow, everyone knows that Mathieu Premier scents are beast mode fragrances. And this is for sure,
absolutely,
like the quietest scent from them.
I think I smelled this on a blotter at your place, like way, yeah, back, right when it came out. I feel like I need to give, yeah, this its moment on skin. I'm not really a lavender,
same,
person,
same,
but I would try this because, yeah, I love this line so much, and I'm curious about his approach, their approach to it, and also just like the name is such a banger.
Oh, metal lavender,
you know.
I feel this should be like more body than Eau de Parfum, but
I don't know though. But like, is that just because of our perception of lavender?
Because of my perception of lavender, for sure.
Yeah, I guess I don't really have a perception because I don't prefer, I don't perceive it. But yeah, when I think of lavender, I think of I think of sleep. Yeah. Number yeah, one, like a pillow spray, a laundry, yeah, and definitely something like soft and calming. Which yeah, okay, but yeah, the metal aspect is interesting. Yeah.
It's nice. I genuinely wonder what the reception will be, considering, you know, Mathieu Premier's reputation, but we have yet to see it.
Hmm. Yeah. I also wonder if they, as a brand, were sort of craving something a little quieter, you know, maybe, maybe not. But so this does not work quite as nuts as like vanilla powder.
Not at all. Not at all.
That is the loudest fragrance I have ever smelled in my life.
It's a bit much. Like
it's also a bit cold.
Yes. Yes. But I mean, like, it's been 100 degrees the past 3 days. So I was like, I'm not reaching for the Mathieu Premier these days.
Yeah.
But maybe this one. It is like a very clean, refreshing smell. It's not like laundromat. It's more like linens on a laundry line kind of freshness.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see that.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's nice.
I am so excited about our guest today. Yes. I feel like we have, it's been a long time coming. Miss Sophie Pavitt is joining us, the esthetician to all the hot girls.
That is true. I feel like she always was like the cool girl, hot girl esthetician, even in like the early days.
Yes, yes. From there, she started her own line, Sophie Pavitt Face, available in a Sephora near you. And it has some of myself and Sable's favorite products, depending. Yeah. That Mandela.
Dude, the Mandela. I was going to say, like, if you try anything from her brand, do the Mandelic Acid.
I know that there's like so much hype in skincare right now and everything, but that Mandelic.
No, it's legitimately so good.
It's so good. I also are you using her new gel moisturizer?
Yes. I really like the new gel moisturizer, the new sunscreen.
I have not tried the sunscreen. I want to.
It's nice. What else?
Okay.
The benzoyl peroxide treatment is really hardcore. I will do a dot on an emerging pimple and I'll leave it there for literally 5 minutes because it does actually kind of sting. And then I'll wipe it off and it's like done, dusted. It's crazy.
Sheesh. Okay. Well, last year, Sable has known Sophie for a while.
Yeah. I remember, I think like I've known her since perhaps before I was working at Allure.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was kind enough to invite me to her original studio in Chinatown and she gave me like one of the best facials of my life. I walked out of that studio and you know how you always get the headband dents in your hair?
Yeah.
My skin looks so incredible. I didn't even care.
Love.
Insane.
Well, I met Sophie at the launch party for, and we'll get into this more though, we've already talked about it a bit, the collab she did with one of our favorite brands, Cydia, on the candle, the studio. And, you know, we had already talked about having Sophie on, but just having a real chat with her about everything, but especially fragrance, I was like, oh, you not like know your stuff, because of course, like what's there to know about fragrance? Like everyone knows their stuff, but I was like, oh, you are passionate and like you love.
She name drops like not obscure, but like things from the past that I haven't thought about in like 20 years.
Totally, totally. So I was just like, oh my God, this begs for an episode. So we're about to get it.
Yay.
My name's Sophie. I am a licensed esthetician. I have a skincare studio in New York City called Sophie Pavitt Skin. And as of 3 years ago, I'm the founder of Sophie Pavitt Face.
Hell yeah.
One of our favorites. And Sophie, what do you smell like today?
You know, today I smell like Acqua di Parma.
Ooh.
You know, like when the weather gets warm and gets a little sticky, I want to smell like a rich old Italian man. You know what I mean? Like that kind of like masculine. I mean, it's so gender neutral in my opinion, but I love that kind of crisp Italian scent when it gets really hot and sweaty.
It's like, I know exactly what you mean by you explaining it that way.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All those aqua scents do just smell like summer to me, like on some Riviera, you know? I mean, not one I've ever experienced, but I understand that for sure.
Yeah. It's like a crisp cotton shirt. I like that smell, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Sophie, the first time I met you last year, we had already talked about having you as a guest on the show, but you and I got to chatting about fragrance and I was like, oh, this has to happen.
And I know Sable felt the same. Do you just want to tell us about your personal history with fragrance? Just sort of your background with it, what you grew up with, what you grew up loving, things like that.
Do you know what's amazing is I've always been like really scent nostalgic. And I think that it is one of my strongest senses. Personally, I have a lot of scent nostalgia. Like I'll walk into a room and be like transferred somewhere in my past, like really quickly. I think a lot of people have it with sounds and visuals. But for me, scent has always been like something. I am somebody who like, for example, there's like a restaurant very close to the studio that always smells really bad. And like, it's not, it doesn't smell bad, but to me, I'm always so offended. Like, I'm like, it's so strong in there. Like, what? Scent has always been something I'm very sensitive to. So I remember what my grandma's kitchen smells like. I can literally pull it from my nostrils just sat here talking to you. And I grew up, like, my mom was a hairdresser. She'd always be, like, doing my nan's, like, hair in the kitchen, like, putting a perm in her hair. And I remember the scent of that neutralizer that they would use. So, like, it's not necessarily just traditional fragrances, but I love the smells of everything. Like, old books, leather. I worked in fashion for a long time. Like, I don't know. So, I mean, and I also grew up in the 80s. So my mom was like an Avon mom, you know, like I'd love all the like Avon fragrances. And she would wear Louis Vuitton, which was like this very 80s scent. She'd wear Poison and Dune, like all the 80s fragrances, you know. So they feel really nostalgic and take me back. I remember like my first ever moment where I was like, oh, I'm into fragrance. When in the UK, back in the 80s and 90s, they used to do these like collectible magazines. And it would be like a series of magazines that you would get with a gift with purchase. And it would be a series. It'd be like 20 to 25 magazines over a, it would actually be like a year. So yeah, how many weeks in a year? 52. And it'd be a bi-weekly magazine and you would get a gift and then a magazine about that gift. So there was a really famous one that was fragrance. And the magazine every other week was about the fragrance house. And then you would have a miniature of that fragrance. And then at the end of it, you could buy a display stand. And I had it. And I just thought I was the coolest person ever. I had all these little miniature bottles on like a little display stand. Mm. I have to remember what the name is. I'll find it. I bet you can find them on eBay. And you could do it with lots of different things. It wasn't just fragrance. It would be like, I don't know. There would be a doll with like clothes of the world and on all these like funny things. But I really love fragrance. And it's ironic that I've started a brand which is fragrance-free.
Yeah, I feel like fragrance and skincare is so demonized. But depending on who you ask, they're like, it's fine or we'll never do that. Do you have a strong stance on that?
I personally love fragrance and skincare. I'm like a very sensorial person. When I wash my face, I love using a fragranced cleanser. Mm-hmm. My specialty in skincare, however, is sensitive skin and acne and like, you know, problematic skin forward. And I understand that some people can be really irritated by fragrance. So that's kind of a brand stance that we stand behind. But like personally, I find it joyful to use fragrance in skincare. You know, like putting on a moisturizer with like a little kiss of something in it is great. Or like a flavored lip gloss. Oh, yeah. Like I'm fully into it.
Yeah. I think the smell of a face cream is, to me, it makes the experience so much more luxurious.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have kids too. So like, I love using all the baby stuff on them, all the like lightly fragranced baby stuff. I love the smell of baby powder. I don't want my kids to use fragrance free. I want them to smell like babies, you know, like powdery, cute little baby butts. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really, it's so sensorial and sweet. There's this really famous old school Italian moisturizer for the legs, like for body called Borotalco. Have you heard of this?
No.
Borotalco, the smell of Borotalco is like epic. It's like powdery and soft, and their lotion is called like a velveting lotion. Ooh. And it makes your skin so smooth. It's like so old-fashioned, but I love the scent of that fragrance.
I love the usage of velvet as a verb.
Yeah, me too. Velveting. Yeah.
So most people know you from your skincare studio and your brand, but you didn't always start in skin. So what was your background and how did you get to skincare?
So I was a handbag designer for almost 16 years. My first ever job was designing accessories for Abercrombie and Fitch. And that was in 2004, peak Abercrombie. I always wanted to be a fashion designer from the age of 3 years old. Like my nan taught me how to make clothes for my Barbies. I would knit with her and I used to collect buttons. And I was like, I want to be a fashion designer. And I grew up in South Wales where that is not a job perspective that a lot of people will go for, you know? So everyone would be like, okay, no problem. Yeah, you should be a fashion designer. And then I actually went and friggin' did it. I went to school. I got a degree in fashion and I got a job offer from Abercrombie and Fitch. So I moved to Columbus in Ohio in 2004. I was an underwear designer for Abercrombie and I loved fashion. What was a really big change for me was when I started working for Michael Kors. And when I worked for Michael, they realized it was faster and cheaper to send the design team to Seoul to approve samples every 12 weeks than it was to FedEx them. So I managed to start going to Seoul, oh my gosh, like 5 times a year. And I did that for years. And this was before K-beauty had really come to the States. It was also a time where Sephora was 60% makeup, 20% hair care, 10% nails. And then skin was an afterthought. It was like 5%. It was tiny. It was really, really little. Like mastige, prestige skin like didn't really exist. Unless you went to like a department store. So Korean beauty was really awakening to me. I loved the way that you could go and get a treatment and it wasn't sensorial. It wasn't relaxing. It was like this really before and after style treatment and you would just get these amazing results. So I went back to aesthetic school. Nobody wanted to be an esthetician when I was in esthetician school. It was like me and three old Russian ladies and like a 17-year-old whose mom was making a go, you know? And I was like, I just want to learn about skin and figure out what I want to do in this industry. And I fell in love with the aesthetics part of it. So I started giving my friends facials and then their friends facials. I was still working full-time in fashion. And it got to the point, I'd been doing it for about 12 months, that I was like, I need to make a change and decide what I want to do. So I quit my job, which was crazy because it was like, you know, senior designer role. It was like really like an excellent job. And it was kind of scary. And I started my own practice. I also at the same time started working for a dermatologist. And this is important because that really pushed me into a world of problematic skin. Mm-hmm. I still work for a dermatologist here and there, which everyone thinks is hilarious on my team. But I love being in that medical space to really keep abreast of what's going on within the acne world. There's a big disconnect between derm appointments and aesthetic appointments. And I think that estheticians and dermatologists get pitched against each other all the time, but the partnership between them is a beautiful thing if you can do it, you know? So I work closely with derms, with acne patients who are on RX topicals to get them faster to where they want to be. So it's been really cool. But yeah, I quit my job. I started doing skincare full time and it's been gangbusters ever since.
It's where you were meant to be, clearly.
Yeah, I feel like I've like reached my final form as a facialist, for sure.
Well, coming from the fashion world and then, you know, starting, well, becoming an esthetician and then starting your own brand, I feel like you have a really good handle on just the concept of brand.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously your own, but also learning from all of the brands that you've worked for and with. It's, I mean, Sable and I talk about the disconnect we often see from a fashion brand to that fashion brand's fragrances. Do you know what I mean? Like they don't seem to be having the same conversation. And
yes.
I feel like you're probably the closest person that would have some insight into that. Like, you know, just from, you know, girl to girl, like why would that be? Why don't they sort of work together more than they seem to, or why don't they hold hands more?
Well, do you know what's so interesting is that a lot of fashion brands will outsource their fragrance to a fragrance house, you know? Right. And so it's not recapturing it. It's actually been developed by a completely different team.
Right. Right.
I think fragrance is storytelling. There's so much you can do with fragrance. And I think there are like iconic fragrances that are tied to brands. Like the one I immediately think of is like Marc Jacobs Daisy, right? Like it's like the packaging is so Marc. It's youthful, it's playful, it's so obviously his brand. And then there's other ones where you're like, whoa, where did this even come from? And I think you can tell when the design house has had a part to play in it, you know? I think that there's so much fun you can have within fragrance to storytell a brand. And I think that it works both ways. Like when I think about like all the fragrance houses that like are really inspiring to me, all the new ones, like you've got Perfume Head, which is really cool. To me, that's a fashion brand. Mm-hmm. Like when you think about Perfume Head, I'm like, this is a really cool brand. Like, and I feel instinctively that it's fashionable. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Whereas like, but then there's other ones which don't feel fashionable. Oh. And like, you can tell, like you're telling a story through it almost visually at the same time. DS and Derga do this beautifully again. Like, let's talk about Cavi and David. Like, oh my God, like that brand that they've created, they create playlists for their fragrance. Like you can tell, I can draw an outfit for each of those fragrances. Right. Do you know what I mean? So I think sometimes the fragrance houses do a better way of evoking fashion than the other way around.
Totally, totally. Well, you've said before that you see your line as a fashion brand rather than a beauty brand. And, yes. And we love that. I think so much of just brand in general is informed by the way that luxury fashion moves. So, like, do you see fragrance as more fashion or beauty coded?
100% fashion. To me, when I smell a fragrance, I visualize it almost, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think another one to think about is like Frederick Malle. Frederick Malle has been around forever, but like to me, that was the original fashion fragrance brand, you know? Like, it's soft, it's powdery, it's really sexy. And like they've got all different profiles and you can kind of like visualize the person who would be wearing each one. And I think Perfume Head do a really great job of that. DS and Durga too. Whereas for me, I always talk about our brand being a fashion brand versus a beauty brand because I envisage who is wearing our products. Mm-hmm. It's not like a scent brand, but you know, I think about my clients at the studio. This is kind of an insight that I had even before I started the brand, because I had real clients and I could kind of bring back the brand that I wanted my clients to be like attracted to. So I think that's a really great thing to think about when you're working with fragrance too, is like, what kind of person do you want to wear your products? And I think thinking about it fashion-wise is so much more inspiring than just end goal.
That actually makes a lot of sense now that you're the way you put it, because I feel like fashion, whatever it does, it always has a point of view to it because, yeah. Like, sure, it's functional. You need to wear clothes to be in the world, but it's like the style is totally up to the point of view of the fashion brand. And with beauty, a lot of it is like trying to solve a problem,
right.
Not so much a point of view, but fragrance does. So it's a good argument for it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. And I mean, listen, like there is nothing sexy about acne care. It's the most deeply unsexy category.
You've actually made it cool, though.
That was the whole intention. Yeah. It was like, that's what everybody breaks out, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody does. So like, who is the person that you want to attract to your brand? And I think a lot of the time, brands are so in the weeds of like what their products do and like efficaciousness mm-hmm. and stuff. That's a done deal. My products are efficacious, but now I want to go one layer deeper and be like, who do I want to use this and how do I want to make them feel? And I think that really, really counts for fragrance too.
Yes.
Without maybe getting, you know, too in the weeds, I love that approach. How, when you first started, how did you make the distinction and then communicate what you wanted to the team, you know, to say like, I want this, but I don't want it to look like that, but I want it to be fashion forward. What was that like?
You know, I was really lucky because it was just me and two other people developing this line with me. It was me, one of my best friends, who's a graphic designer, who basically put pen to paper on everything that I wanted. I wanted to be inspired by like early 90s, glossy Bobbi Brown. Like when I started my line, everything was beige and matte. You couldn't walk into Sephora. Everything was beige. Everything was matte. It was not glossy. And for me, I was like, I want sexy 90s. Like I want everything granted to black. I want it shiny. I want it sexy. And so like for me, that was like the first part, you know, I like had a very strong visual of like what I wanted it to look like. And I was like, and I want it to be easy. Like I want it to be color coded and like ABCD. And that was just kind of the blueprint. Everything else is like, I just put everything in that I like. Like, I don't know. I'm just, that's going to be hard as the brand grows. And like, we have different distribution and stuff, but for now, I'm like, I've hired a team that just gets it and they understand like what I like and it doesn't have to be so serious.
It doesn't have to be so serious.
I was so dogmatic about stuff. It's like, let's have fun. Like, you know what I mean?
You.
Like, oh my God, what? Are you like really like pressed over this? Come on, relax. We're all just having a good time.
Oh my God. You sound like me for the last year talking about perfume.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I get it. I'm so struck, Sophie, by the conversation we had about, and I'm going to butcher the name here, so please forgive me, but Clarins, Dynamisante?
Dynamisante.
Okay. I was on my way. Can you just talk us through that? Because I've been thinking about that fragrance since we spoke about it like a year ago.
What's better than Clarins? That smell, is so nostalgic to me. When I was little, and I say little, I was like 8 or 9. My mom had a gym membership to like this fancy, like it wasn't a private members club, but it was like a tennis club, right? And they had a spa, and at the front of the spa, they had all these Clarins products. And it was like, you remember like Beauty Flash, like Clarins Beauty Flash with that, this amazing balm. And like, it was like, and oils and stuff. And I just remember the scent of Clarins Eau d'Anamisante being like so chic. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I revisit it all the time. I spray it on the bed before I take a client. It's this fresh, really invigorating scent. It doesn't last at all. You like spray it on and it's gone. But it's like, it's aromatherapy to me. And like, I get out of the shower and I spray it on. Like, it's a body spray to me. It's so fresh and like grounding. And I don't know, it's like always in duty free. So it kind of reminds me of vacations at the same time. You know what I mean? It's just got like so many levels to why it's good. And it's like, it's so good. It's like unisex. You can wear, anyone can wear it. You could wear it as a kid. You could wear it as an 80-year-old person. And like, it's just magic. It's such a good scent.
Is it in your little scent tray in the bathroom at your studio? Because I know you offer like a bunch of like scent options for clients.
You know what? No, it's not, because I gatekeep it. I keep it in my room. It's like right by my bed. So like, if you come in for a treatment with me, I'm going to spritz you, you know? I have that one, and then I have a Diptyque like orange blossom one that I B clients get that. The A clients get the Clarins.
Oh my God.
Just kidding.
You have to just like kind of do a quick vibe check and be like, are you the Diptyque or are you the Clarins?
Yeah, totally.
And do you listen to Snowy Wick?
Exactly.
Well, I love the idea that things can cue clean without being aldehydes or powder. You know what I mean? Like, it's refreshing.
Yeah, almost like vegetal, you know? Like, I think, like, I always think citrus is very clean, too.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I like those, like, just really herbal kind of scents that feel very clean to me.
On that same tip, I would love to chat about the studio, the collaboration between you and Cydia. And I think I bring it up because it's sort of along the same lines.
Yeah.
I had an expectation of what a scent from, you know, a skincare studio and a fragrance line would smell like. And then the studio completely turned that on its head. It still smells clean to me, but it's so bright and sweet, like you said, like invigorating. Can you just talk us through how that came to be and your inspiration for the scent itself?
Yeah. So like, I'm such a fragrance head. I love fragrance. And it made sense to me that if we were going to do one for the brand, that it was tied to the studio as like a sensorial experience versus like a skincare preparation. So we partnered with Cydia, met with Erin a lot. And, you know, ultimately, I think that the notes and the profile of the scent actually came from like very personal preference of what I like and what I emote at the studio with my, you know, my bed sprays and stuff. So the three notes were neroli, yuzu, and rhubarb. And I think that neroli and yuzu, you know, that like zesty, like citrusy scent that I always really, I refer to as clean. And rhubarb for me is like very nostalgic. It's like very British. I grew up with a lot of rhubarb. Did you ever smell the rhubarb from Bully in Paris? Did you ever smell rhubarb scent?
I have to get acquainted with that whole line.
It is so good. It is the most vegetable-y, like fruity scent, but like so real. Yeah. It's like you're literally sniffing a piece of rhubarb. And I was like, yeah, I love, like, it's so fresh. And I love that. And it's just a bit unexpected. You know, I love eucalyptus and all those like very classic minty, cucumbery spa things. But I was like, let's not be obvious about it, you know?
Yeah, rhubarb is one of my favorite notes too.
It's so good. And it sort of reframes really just like the skincare studio and the whole skincare experience or what it can smell like, especially coming from a line that's not scented. It's like the fact that this is the direction you went. I was like, you know, it's exciting.
Yeah. She's like, she's lost her mind. Who is she? Who is this person?
Speaking of brands doing fragrance, I'm struck right now by walking into Sephora and seeing a lot of brands that aren't in the fragrance space or even largely have fragrance products putting out perfume, you know, mostly makeup, some skincare. And you know, I'm excited about all of them because they're largely brands I love, but I'm curious what do you think, what your perspective is, you know, obviously not speaking for any of them, but what do you think the value is for a brand who, you know, fragrance isn't their category, but, you know, putting out an EDP, like what's the value there? What's the point?
it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about like, who is your customer, right? Like, who do you want to imagine, envisage using your line? And I think fragrance is a way to do that. I think a really great exercise when people are branding and strategizing is to kind of do like, looks like, feels like, smells like kind of things. And I always think that as an exercise when we're like thinking of a demographic, who are we trying to hold together? And I think those kind of exercises can be really interesting for a brand with their team. Feels like, looks like, smells like. And I think that's what maybe brands are doing when especially the color brand, like it's so easy to do a fragrance next to it. Like, what do you want your customer to smell like? And I don't know, I get really excited by scent. So that would be so exciting for us to do. I don't think we can do it because we are so boring with our fragrance, but I could do it at the studio. And to me, that's like, yeah, that was kind of my exercise with the studio with that.
I don't know. I can envision if you ever go into body care, that's an opportunity for.
Agreed. I agree with that. And I also agree with hair care. Like when everyone does like fragrance-free hair care, I'm like, what in the world? What in the world? I don't know. I'm very polarizing in my studio because like a lot of people do use fragrance-free because they're, you know, if they have like scalp irritation and stuff. But I'm like, oh my God, if I had scalp irritation, I'd want something fresh and minty and cold and eucalyptus-y, you know, like fragrance-free to me. I also have 2 boys, 7 and 5, and they absolutely stink. I had to change their like kid shampoo to grown-up shampoo recently because I'm like, it's not cutting it. I need something like more intense. I need like a suave or something, like something aggressive. They smell so bad. But again, I'm like very sensitive to scent. So maybe it's me. But yeah, fragrance-free, I don't know.
I find that talking to so many people on the show who are in fragrance or adjacent to it, maybe, you know, did not come from fragrance, but started the line, are attracted to things that are very like personal, emotional, sensorial. And you are, you know, people call you the acne whisperer. You specialize in treating and healing people's acne. And I find that to be a very vulnerable thing to do, both for you and each of your clients. So I'm interested to sort of know, like, how do you approach, you know, each client in a way that makes them feel most welcomed when, you know, acne may be an uncomfortable experience? And is scent a part of that in any way?
I always lead with empathy with my clients. I'm a Cancer, so it's really easy. I'm like, I cry at the drop of a hat. Yeah, you know, it's like, it's very easy for me to be a warm, like, hug for someone because it is an emotional thing. It is awful. And, you know, I don't think people understand how devastating this condition can be for people, right? But for me, it's like empathy leads first with the brand, with the studio. Everyone who works for me understands that. Like the bedside manner is as important as the treatment. And I try to talk to our clients outside of the studio who do buy into the brand in the same way. I try to be very educational on TikTok, for example. Like we have like this crazy following of literally me with clients laying on a bed, just me talking about like how to treat certain things. And it's gone like hotcakes because people want just like this communication just with a little empathy. And I think that, I don't know, who am I to like have another educational like Instagram, right? Like everybody's got a point of view. But like to me, I always see good kindness.
Yeah. Well, it also feels, because I've seen a lot of your content, and it doesn't feel like talking down to the viewer. It's like you're talking straight to them, which I think, especially in skincare, is harder to find.
I think that a lot of skin influencers on the internet come from a level of snark, right? They're like, you're doing this all wrong.
Yeah.
This is going to break, like, and just like tearing each other apart. And it's like, you know what? People don't want to be talked to like that. We're all grownups. And if you're not a specialist in skincare, you're not a specialist in skincare. So I try and educate people in like a grown-up way without making them feel stupid. Or making fun of people. I think there's like so many sarcastic on the internet. It's like so boring. It's like the lowest form of wit. It's so boring. So yeah, it's always well-intentioned.
Mm-hmm. I think people are kind of getting tired of that too.
It's so boring. And like you see people crash out and be sarcastic on the internet. It's just like, oh my God, is this like what's making likes for you? Because it's really boring.
I unfortunately I don't know. Think it might be because people like to hate watch, but I'm just like, I don't think this is like a good thing to put into the world regardless. Like,
No.
There's other ways.
No, I think so.
Yeah.
What do you think are the similarities between the personal connection that people have to skincare and that people have with fragrances?
I think it's about the way things make you feel. Mm-hmm. And especially with beauty, and especially what I do, which is very results-driven, right? It's like a before and after. If you use my line and use it correctly, then chances are your skin is going to improve. And it's more subjective with fragrance, but you can feel a certain type of way wearing a fragrance, like a rich old man in Italy when you put your Acqua di Parma on. You know, like you can definitely change your confidence with fragrance. I truly believe that. At least for me, like I can't get over people who have like one scent. And you know who does it? My husband. My husband has worn, and this is hilarious, Clinique Happy since he was 16 years old.
Oh.
Tried and true. Will not quit it.
That's so.
And I'm like, let's go fragrance shopping. And he won't. And it's so crazy to me. He also has a bottle of Love Spell in his high school bedroom that I don't know what girl left at his house when he was 16, but it's still there 25 years later. And I'm like, great. It's kind of nostalgic. He's like, I love the smell of Love Spell. I'm like, I bet you do. Who did this to you? Not me.
Oh my God. I feel like, Sable, you've said that. I think it was you that said every high school guy has like a deep connection to at least one Victoria's Secret.
Yes.
Love Spell. Love Spell. It's like, my husband, I've tried to throw it out many times. He's like, don't throw it out.
Can't help him for that. I don't think we've ever, I'm sure that's a lie, had someone bring up Avon on this show, which is so crazy. Do you know what I mean?
I do not recall.
I feel like we're one generation past, like, in Sophie's like our age, but like past like the real Avon heads, you know what I mean? I remember my there were Avon products around me for sure, and I remember the catalog. My grandmother was really into it, but I feel like I missed that boat a little bit, and I'm mad because their bottles used to go so crazy. God, you know?
Yeah, like the sculptural bottles that looked like oh my God, they look like figurines.
I know they put their whole pussy into all those bottles every time.
Why don't people make bottles like that anymore?
Well, we know why.
Cowards.
We need to bring Avon back.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they got new creative director. That's what everyone's doing. They're just bringing old IP back with a new creative direction.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, legs. Why not? That's sustainability.
Yeah right. There are no new ideas.
Oh my gosh. I love someone who has like grown up in the same like reference timeline as us, because it just brings me back to so many things that I forgot about. Or just realize like someone who grew up in Wales has the same references that like, that's crazy to me. We're so connected by scent.
Well, and I don't know if this is me being a dumb American, but because she grew up in Wales, I was like, would you have that Bath and Body Works sort of like high school sense memory that we have? You know what I mean? Because I'm sure she does regardless of where she grew up, but I should have asked her, but next time. Damn.
I still think she should release like a fragranced something in her line. I don't know. I could see it. I remember when Dew released a fragranced and non-fragranced version of their cleanser.
Yeah.
I genuinely wonder which one is more popular, but I was like, that's an interesting choice to give the option. Huh.
I don't know. I think because Sophie Pavitt looks at her brand as fashion first, I do think that gives you a lot of room to play, because then, you know, you define where your boundaries are. And so if she ever, I could see her doing an EDP or like
a room spray,
like you said, a scented, a body spray. Exactly. Something like chic, but versatile and like durable, you know, I don't know. It's definitely not out of the question for her.
Sophie, do it.
Well,
thanks for once again listening to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast featuring us two. Whenever we feel like posting,
which is most of the time.
You know what? Most of the time. I think I feel like whenever we don't record a week in between, I'm just like, oh my God, there's so much we have to catch up on.
I know. It's like that, like podcast guilt.
Podcast guilt. That's a thing now, apparently.
Okay. It is. If there's a type of guilt to exist, I will have felt it. Follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. Hit our website at smellylater.live. You can leave us a voice note. And yeah, you know the spiel. Yeah, I'm at Tynan Bell.
I'm at Sable Tooth Tigra.
And until next time, we will smell you later.